Okay, so we're going to go on a quest. Are you ready? We're going to find the signs. What was the sign at Christmas? That you would find a newborn child wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That was the sign that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, and they went and saw it, and they believed. What was the sign at Epiphany? We'll see the star at its rising, and the wise men followed the star, and where it rested, they understood that this was the newborn king. What was the sign at baptism? I'm working your memory is pretty hard right now, am I not? What was the sign at baptism? It was that the Spirit in the form of a dove would come upon the one to be baptized. Remember, John heard a vision that he said, when you see the Spirit coming down upon someone, know that he is the Christ. That was the sign. What's the sign from today? The wedding feast at Cana. The water becoming wine. And they saw it and they believed. Now, it's worth taking a moment to recognize the power of all these signs and what they do. Because the signs are rather important. So the first sign from Christmas told those shepherds that this is the newborn king. Told the wise men, this is the newborn king. When they saw the Spirit coming down upon Jesus, they knew this was the anointed one, the Messiah. Now today's a little bit different. The sign isn't as clear. Neither was it proclaimed. It's very different. Jesus didn't say, just so you know, I'm turning water into wine. He just made all these commands, and everyone else got it. But the disciples, watching everything that happened, understood that it wasn't about the water and wine any longer. It's about Jesus revealing his glory. The signs showcase that. Now for us, we're being challenged by all of these different sign passages that we've read for the last 4 weeks to look for signs in our own lives, signs of God's activity, signs that God comes and meets us. Now, in some ways, they're kind of easy, you know? Oh, it's beautiful outside. I saw a wonderful sunrise. I'm being facetious, I'm sorry, but it really is kind of true. Oh, look, a sunrise. I see God. Or look at all these wonderful things that are happening. Or as we look at our second reading today from the letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul is saying that even in our gifts, teaching, prophecy, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, these are also manifestations of God, recognition of his presence. We also have the Eucharist, the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. But notice there's kind of a problem with this. The problem is very simple. It's not easy for us to see it. As St. John says so wonderfully in the first letter of St. John, what we have seen from the beginning, what we have held, what we have touched with our hands and heard with our ears, this proclaims the word of life. Okay, these signs are nice, but they're not the same power and force as the rest of them. This is where we have to go one level deeper. That the signs that are proclaimed are supposed to be visible to us, that we may know that God is present among us. We need to look for these signs. One of the major ones is the sign of healing. Think of how often Jesus heals someone in the Gospels, but watch how this happens. It's not as cut and dry as you may think. Let's look at the healing of the blind man. So there's this man who's blind from birth, and the disciples come up to Jesus and say, why is this man blind? Is it because of his sins or his parents' sins? And Jesus says, no, it is because through him the glory of God will be shown. He is preaching a message to them. He preaches the good news that God's glory will be shown through that man who is blind, and then he heals him. So they know the connection between the preaching of the good news and the healing of the person. Think of it this way. There's a paralytic man that his friends want to be healed. They bring him in, lower him through the roof. Beautiful scene if you think about it. Lower him through the roof to Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, go, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes are debating about this. How can he forgive sins? And Jesus says to them, which is easier to say, rise, take up your mat and walk? Sorry, I need to go back one. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your mat and walk? But know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins on earth. Without an answer to that question, he says, I say to you, rise, take up your mat, and walk. The paralytic man gets up and walks. He proclaims the message and then shows it in deeds. That's the importance of signs. Signs are to help us understand the gospel message. Now, on one level, we have trouble believing this. Think about it. How often do we see healings? I've seen a lot of them. It's powerful when we recognize that God can heal. I was talking to a friend yesterday. Man, it feels like so much longer ago. Yesterday, about the power of healing. And he said the very same thing that I needed to hear to connect all this together. When we hear of people being healed, it's always the same structure. They have some ailment. They're willing to be healed. Someone tells them the good news that Jesus will heal them, that he'll be saved. Then they pray over him or her, and they are healed. That's how people are healed, by hearing the message of Jesus. Now, the most profound form of healing, and the one we forget the most, comes strongly out of our first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the people are in exile and they're lamenting what has happened to them. And what do they hear from God? Your sins are forgiven. Your transgressions are removed. You are healed. And what is the message for that? You are no longer forsaken and desolate, but you are my delight. You are espoused. I have changed all of your mourning into joy. I have shown through this event the transformation from destitute to new life. That is the message. Healing is the core of all of this. Healing on so many different levels. But we forget about the power of healing, the power of forgiveness, the power that comes when we are forgiven of our sins, the joy that comes from that. But yet, that's God's main ministry, that we may feel forgiven. And in response to that, from our responsorial psalm, after we hear this message that we are forgiven, that God has restored us, our first reaction is to say, proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations. That is the response. That is what we are to do. Once we recognize that we see the signs, we know who God is, he has changed our lives, he has healed me, I am forgiven, I have new life. What do we want to do? Not what do we have to do, it's what we want to do. We want to proclaim his mighty deeds. We want to tell the people what has happened in our lives. We want to guide them to see the same thing we have, that they may recognize the signs. So we are challenged today to go out and look for the signs, to recognize God's healing presence throughout the world, to recognize his constant call, I will forgive you, come to me. I will be your healing presence, come to me. So that we may feel that, cultivate in our lives, know of God's constant action, and then want to show it to the world.